Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. You can always go to KratzerInsurance.com. Also, Kratzer Insurance, auto, home, life, business insurance, service of price mean everything to them. They know it means everything to you. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The pride of Wilmington, Chris Branch, joins us from Clearwater. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for being with us.
No problem.
All right, so here we are, what, 9-10 days before the first spring training game. What kind of read are you getting out of Clearwater about this club?
It's hard to say at this point. They just did their first official workout today. But if you can say anything, Ryan Sandberg is going to be very detail-oriented. The workout went pretty long today for, you know, the normal standards. Working on base running and things like bunt defense, you know, not really... It wasn't a lot of stuff Charlie Manuel worked on, I guess. And that's no slight to Charlie Manuel. I mean, he obviously is the best manager in franchise history, but I think Ryan Sandberg is going to be a little more focused on fundamentals and all that stuff. So, if anything, yes, that. I mean, everybody's mostly healthy, so there's not a lot to report, and that's probably a good thing for the Phillies at this point.
It probably is a good thing for the Phillies, but let's bring up that point. Ryan Howard, for obvious reasons, a couple of years ago, could not get going until August. Roy Halladay missed time early in a season. Jace Utley repeatedly has. Now you have Cole Hamels, who will not be with them opening day. How concerned are they with off-season regimens of their players?
I don't know if they're overly concerned about it. They actually shut down Howard pretty late in the year last year and sent him down to Clearwater to really rehab. So he said he's fully healthy. He looks a lot skinnier. You know, that's about all I can report on that. That he looks skinnier. He looks like he's in good shape. He was running around today. Cole, he told us today that he is throwing his first bullpen next Tuesday. So I don't know how serious that arm issue is of his, but we will certainly find out about, you know, severity and when he throws the first bullpen. I don't know if they're overly concerned about it. A lot of the guys live down here in Clearwater, so. You know, it's not like they're off doing their own thing a lot. It's under team supervision. So I don't know if they're overly concerned about it, but, you know, injury is definitely a big concern that they should be worried about this season, for sure.
All right, so what is the Hamels situation? And do they have a projected time as to when he could be back?
You know, they're downplaying a lot of the concern right now. The story goes is that he had elbow tendonitis in December, and he decided to stop throwing. He talked to them, and they've said, don't throw for now. So they say it's purely that he is behind on his throwing program and that he's feeling great, but he just needs a couple more weeks, you know, to where he would normally be on opening day. So he says he's going to join the team in mid-April. You know, that's obviously a long time from now, and who knows? I mean, who knows to see after he throws. But you know, it's definitely easy to be skeptical about it. You know, the day that they announced that he wouldn't start opening day, they signed AJ Burnett about 45 minutes later. There's dots you could connect there, but I'll wait to do that until Cole really starts throwing and either feels fine or complains of some pain. So.
And for AJ Burnett, they didn't just sign him, Chris. I mean, they oversigned him. I mean, most teams were offering in the 8-12. They offered 16, which you can't blame him for jumping at. We saw what he brought to the Pirates. What can he bring to this Philly staff?
Well, I think if he pitches like he did the last 2 years in Pittsburgh, I think it's a great deal. Actually, for the Phillies, I mean, you're paying him $4 million than Pittsburgh offered. But he made about $16 million last year, and he was probably worth that amount if he can fish like that, which he's 37, he's in good health. You know, there's no really concerns there for now. But if he can do that, especially with Hamels out, he can provide a lot of stability to that rotation, which, you know, before his addition, after Cole and Cliff really plummets, you know, Kyle Kendrick can be good, but he's inconsistent. Who knows what you have in Roberto Hernandez? And then there's just a plethora of guys with big league experience, but there's nothing really encouraging at the moment. So he'll bring some stability. I mean, if he can, I think he started 61 games in the last 2 years, so he's been durable, and he's got like a 3.41 ERA. So he was pretty consistent last year, and that is something that the Phillies definitely missed. So if he does that, he will be a good deal for them. But if not, then, you know, it's probably not the best move, but we'll have to see how he pitches.
Which then brings us to another guy who spent a period of time with the Pirates and was important to them down the stretch, Marlon Byrd. What are the expectations for him?
Well, the more stability. You know, last year, right field was kind of in disarray with Delman Young, and he wasn't performing, you know, consistently. Darren Ruff spent a little bit of time out there, but had never played right field before last season, so it's kind of hard to blame Darren for being maybe a lack of a defensive, you know, standout out there. You know, John Mayberry, who is always underwhelming to me. So Marlon Byrd, they want him to do like he did last year, hit 290, 300, you know, maybe hit 20 home runs, drive in 80 to 100 runs, and you know, they feel like that addition, if he can play like he did last year, will be a huge boost to them.
John Mayberry underwhelming. Have you been roaming the stands?
I mean, I look at his stats almost every day, and it's I honestly think that he could be out of a job at the end of the spring because they brought in Bobby Abreu, who, you know, 39-year-old Bobby Abreu looks like a better option on the bench right now than John Mayberry, especially as a left-handed bat. They have kind of a log jam of right-handed bats on the bench, so it could be. And then, you know, but we say that every year, and then they say that they love his defensive versatility, that he can play all three outfield spots and first base. So you never know. You know, if Phil were me in charge, he probably would be around, but I do not get paid that money. So
that's above your pay grade. Chris, here's the other part. We've talked about some of the starters. We know Papelbon allegedly is at the end. He's going to have to prove himself. But one of the key parts has really been missing the last couple of years, middle relief. I mean, I know you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle with most of these guys. They can have a career year here and there. But who are some of the candidates to pitch innings 6, 7, and 8?
That's probably, to me, that's the biggest question mark of this year, because it's weird in that bullpen. You have 6 or 7 guys, I think I counted the other day, that all had major league experience, that are all still young, and have shown flashes. You know, you got Filippo Mott, who was dynamite for a month in 2012, and then couldn't, you know, I think he had a little composure problems last year. He couldn't throw a strike, but he, you know, when he's on, he's 96 fastball, and then he has a good curveball to offset that. You have Jake Diekman, who pitched really well last year. And you have guys like Justin DeFreitas, Mike Stutz, Jeremy Horst. There's a lot of candidates in there. The coaches, Sandberg and pitching coach Bob McClure, seem to be really high on Jake Diekman because he can throw the ball 97-98 miles an hour. It's just he's got to get his control in check. His motion can be kind of wild at points. So if he can keep his control in check, I would give him easily a bullpen spot. And another guy that is new to the Phillies, Brad Lincoln, who played pretty well in Toronto last year. He came over in the Eric Kratz trade. He could be a big, he's a big talent. He was drafted 4th overall about, I think that was 2008, 2007, something like that. He could make an impact. There's a lot of guys there, a lot of guys. I think you definitely get spots right now to Papelbon and Bastardo and maybe Diekman, and then the rest is, will play out this spring. It's going to be a fascinating thing to watch for sure.
Something else that's fascinating is what the farm system could potentially provide. Some of those guys made it to the club last year. How interested are you to watch a guy like Cody Ashe and how he reacts this spring?
I mean, he performed pretty well. He was kind of streaky at the plate, but he plays a good defense. He's young, you know. He seems to be that guy with all the intangibles that you want. He says all the right things. He seems like he works hard. He's not a bad character guy. So it's going to be fascinating to me. I don't really foresee. He's getting a lot of reps with the first guy in the locker right next to Chase Utley. They obviously think very highly of him. His best competition at third base would be Michael Franco, who I would think would probably start the year in Triple A. He's a big talent, but I don't know if he's polished enough to really step in and start at the major league level at this time. But hey, we're only like what, 4 to 5 days in the spring training, so a lot can change. But it's going to be interesting to see Cody do this thing. I think he performs well.
You know what's interesting is that when I watched because I, besides Penn State football and basketball in the summer, I also keep myself off the streets by announcing the State College Spikes games, which means they play the Williamsport Crosscutters.
Right.
Michael Franco just had the look of I'm flying up the ladder here in the system, and Cody Ashe did nothing.
Williamsport,
it's amazing how players develop over time.
Yeah, it is, and you know, Franco, to his credit, nobody really knew that much about him going into last year, and then he just at each level, I think he was high A and then double. He finished the year, played half the year in double A last year, and I mean, he obliterated pitching wherever he went. So, I mean, if he can hit his way onto this roster, they'll certainly open a spot for him. But I still think it's a little too early for him to, like, make the opening day roster. So,
you'd mentioned working with the first unit. What would the first unit Phillies look like right now?
Oh, man. Well, a lot of familiar names. To me, I guess if you don't have Cole on the mound, you have Cliff, catcher, Howard at first, Utley at second, Rollins at short, Ashe at third, Dom Brown in left, Ben Revere in center, and Marlon Byrd in right field.
What did you make of Ruben Amaro Jr. openly throwing Dominic Brown's name out there? Was that just one of those, I'm going to float it and see if there's any interest that knocks me over? How did you view it?
I don't think it wouldn't have been an awful thing with Dom. I mean, that was before really they had made a lot of these moves, and so you think Dom had this, you know, kind of breakout year. He hits 27 home runs, and you know, other teams probably wanted him. Well, if you can flip Dom for, you know, a top line pitcher, which came with AJ Burnett later, but if you could flip him for that and some minor league depth, it might be a good move, you know, in the future, because Dominic Brown could hit 45 home runs on this team this year, and they will likely still not make the playoffs. So, that being said, you know, why it might have been wise to flip him for some value at his highest value, where he could bring his highest reward back. But they obviously think they can win this year. I mean, it's admirable in a sense, to where it, you know, nobody really thinks they can win at all, and you know, everybody's predicted them to win 70, 75, 80 games, and they are clearly in win-now mode. Whether that's wise or not, you know, remains to be seen. But they clearly think they can contend this year for a playoff spot.
Are they in a spot where career years give them that path to get to the postseason? Or, Chris, is there a need where they need to close it, and what might that need be?
I mean, career years would help. It's just, it's so hard to trust the trio, or actually Jimmy Rollins has been pretty healthy, but to trust, you know, guys like Ryan Howard and Chase Utley to be healthy throughout the whole year, it's hard to do that. If that happens by some, you know, minor miracle that they do stay healthy the whole year and perform really well, I mean, sure, they can win 85, 86 games and, you know, probably get a wild card spot. You know, the division has gotten so tough, the Nationals and the Braves, that it's hard to see them winning a division title. But, I mean, you never know. I mean, hell, a lot of the focus this spring has been on that 93 Phillies team, you know, with Jim Fregosi dying, and how nobody thought they could win. And, you know, right, next thing you know, they're in the World Series. So, not saying that's going to happen, but that's what it would take.
Chris, Carlos Ruiz had to miss the opening 25 games last year because of a mandated Major League Baseball suspension dealing with Adderall, of all things. What does it mean to him that he can get out of the gate and play right away personally, but also at the same time, what does it mean for the pitching staff?
Well, I mean, it'd obviously be huge. I mean, they obviously need, they've struggled with run support the last couple of seasons. And Carlos last year, he admitted near the end of the year, when he started hitting well at the end of the year, and he admitted that after he came back from suspension, he felt so bad, you know, about getting caught with Adderall and missing time for, you know, when they really needed him. And so he was pressing a lot because trying to, you know, make up for lost time, and then he struggled because of that. And so it wasn't the best year for Carlos. So I think it's very important to him. And then, you know, the pitcher, he doesn't change much behind the plate. They all love him and, you know, think that he's a great catcher for them. And, you know, he calls great games and stuff like that. And, they definitely need him in the lineup. If you're hitting Carlos Ruiz sixth in the lineup as a right-handed bat, it's pretty valuable for sure.
Finally, there was 4 more inches of snow here today. I know I'm going to Nebraska, not exactly the vacation area of the world, for a Thursday night game. So please tell us, what is it like in Clearwater today?
Do you really want to know?
Yes, we do.
It's I think the high today is 79. I'm in one of the radio booths right now at the stadium, finishing up my stories. But sunny. There's not too many clouds inside. It's you get a little bit of a sweat outside. I've got a long sleeve shirt on, and I was probably should have worn short sleeves, but it's beautiful. I can't say I missed the snow yet.
I have a bunch of dastardly words to say to you, which I will keep to myself, Chris, because I want our friendship to continue.
Well, I appreciate that.
Chris, thanks so much for the time you gave us. We appreciate it so much. We look forward to chatting with you many times in the future.
Yeah, thanks. And, until next time.
Chris Branch with us. Writes out of Wilmington. Does an awesome job. Enjoy his stuff very, very much. Hopefully everybody will pick up on that as well. And he does a great job covering the club. And, well, did I ask the questions you needed asked?
Yeah. I thought you did a really nice job with that. And I was really glad that you asked him what the weather was like in Clearwater. That was really fantastic.
Well, I said to myself, I've asked a series of questions that are mostly ball club related. I thought at the end, I need to ask one that Kevin would ask.
No, even I wouldn't ask that because I don't want to know.
I was kind of hoping maybe they lit like a torch to start spring training and whether it was done right.
I'm not even responding to that.
We'll take a break. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to save you big money at the pump and big money at your bank with huge discounts and great gas mileage on all new Hyundais. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 31 brand new Hyundai Elantras discounted $2,700. Elantras start at $15,677 and gets 38 miles per gallon. Does anyone want to save $6,120? Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all 2013 Sonata Hybrids $6,120 off MSRP. Sonata start at $19,694. If your current vehicle gets 20 miles per gallon and you trade it in on a 40 mpg Sonata hybrid, you'd save $110 per month on gas. Who doesn't want to save $110 per month and $6,120 off the sticker price of a brand new Sonata hybrid? If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Gas mileage savings based on 15,000 miles per year and $355 per gallon. Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
All right, thanks to Chris Branch, Wilmington Times, for joining us from Clearwater on the Philadelphia Phillies. We're going to transition back. We're going to talk about student attendance at games, your attendance at games as well. Student attendance at many places are down 25-30% at football games. Penn State's not bad with a no-show rate of 18.1%. Not bad.
You know what else is coming up? You know what else is coming up in the next half hour? You know it. Come on, say it.
Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland.
No, the News Olympic Radio Fun 10. Fact.
Yeah, there's 5 days left. I've already got everybody excited.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Go to KratzerInsurance.com. And also, don't forget, to serve the Valley for more than 50 years, and you're talking about auto, home, life, business insurance. They cover everything. Service and price mean everything to them. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out why they have so many repeat customers, because they have served the Valley for decades. All right, let's get the Olympic thing out of the way.
Oh, come on. Now I'm really glad that we have this open.
Of course you remember this.
5 seconds left in the game. It's over. You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact with Kevin Herr on the Steve Jones Show.
There have been a record number of medals for this Olympics.
I love the open.
Do you love the open?
Play the open again.
What?
Play the open again.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course you remember this.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact with Kevin Herr on the Steve Jones Show.
That's the best part of it.
That's great. I'm glad you're happy with it.
No, Sean Carey did a great, great job. All right, let's go on
you're
to student attendance now.
No, you're not taking my fun fact away. You're going to listen. There have been a record number of medals for this Winter Games made at 1,300. That's more than in the past years because of 12 new events debuting in Sochi. The medals, though, for gold are not really gold. Only 6 grams of gold in those gold medals. They're actually silver. There's your Olympic fun fact.
So,
there are 525 grams of silver and 6 grams of gold in a gold medal.
Do you want to know why?
Because it's cheaper?
Because gold is $1,300 an ounce and silver is $1,950 an ounce.
Right.
$19.50 an ounce.
I get it. It just seems wrong. Here's your gold, somewhat, anyway, but it's really silver metal.
No, it's gold-plated. Here you go. We'll spray it for you.
That's why when they bite it, it doesn't actually leave teeth marks.
So $51 billion. And they can't get your real gold
medal. And they can't get a real gold medal. Bingo.
Hmm. Well, that's an Olympic fun fact.
There you go.
Play the Sean Carey thing again. I love that.
No, we'll do it tomorrow. I'll have another fun fact tomorrow.
No, I don't think so.
There's only three more fun facts left.
One can only count the ways. All right. So, okay. Now, let's get something straight. Okay.
Yes.
So people know. I love the competition of the Olympics. All the ancillary blah, blah, blah stuff. I mean, obviously, I can't ask the questions that I've asked on this show of the guests that we've had if I didn't have some interest in what was going on.
Absolutely true.
Okay. All right. That's why when we had Jason Tertiman on, again, you got mad. And you're like, ooh. Then we had Erin Hamlin on. So, you know, when we have, you know, we had Natalie Dell on before the London Games. She ended up winning a bronze medal as well. So, you know, I love competition. I love sports. Now, some of them I'm not, you know, I mean, I have to be told when a guy flies up in the air with a pair of skis and flips and twists and turns and all of a sudden lands, and I go, that was bad. I go, right, great, okay. Okay. But have you noticed something in this?
What?
Huh? There hasn't been a single world record set.
I honestly didn't suspect there would be.
There's only been one Olympic record set.
Yeah, I didn't suspect there would be because of the fact that this is a sea-level Olympics.
So, I mean, interesting.
And by the way, the U.S. having a much better week this week than last week, as predicted by me. Thank you.
All right, let's get back down to American sports. Let's talk about student attendance at games being so down. And this is something that is, and we're seeing it in basketball. By the way, the Indiana-Iowa basketball game tonight, set for Bloomington, a 14-foot by 20-inch piece fell from the ceiling in between the shoot-arounds today. They postponed the game. I mean, I was just in that building 6 days ago. So now that they have to postpone it, and I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, you have to go up there and look at it. Now, you know, Penn State's going to put some money into the roof at the Jordan Center. And there also is a little, you know, they're going to redo the floor because there's a little bit of a sinkhole in the floor to the concrete at the Jordan Center. But, you know, when I talk about student attendance being down, I'm talking about nationally. Penn State actually at 18.1% no-show rate, that includes Labor Day weekend, and that includes that rain game with Kent State. The other games, the no-show rates, they're down like 5 to 10% for those games. No-show rate on basketball, way up, obviously. I'm seeing fewer students in seats in basketball. Ohio State openings. I saw it, believe it or not, at Michigan State. There was the no-show rate was actually pretty high at Indiana. There a lot of seats open in the upper deck. I mean, Dick and I were looking at each other before the game. And when they were down and out in nothing, they were still getting 15, 16,000. And we were always impressed. We thought, wow, this makes a huge statement about the Indiana basketball fan. They had probably, I mean, still a good crowd, but still about 13, 14,000. They had 3 to 4, maybe 5,000 empty seats in the assembly hall. Now, of course, tonight with the problem they've had in the building. And by the way, they're putting $40 million into that building. But the places I've been so far, I've seen fewer students, and I definitely see it in football. I, you know, Ohio State's hard to tell. It looks like everything's sold out, but that was a night game too. But what I'm seeing, and you know when student attendance for basketball is at its best here? 9 o'clock games at night.
No matter if it's a weekend or a weekday?
9 o'clock game. You play a 9 o'clock game at night here, students come out in droves. Any night game here in football, I don't care. You, general population, students in droves. Now, they certainly pick a great opponent to do that with. It's a marquee game to do that with. Yeah, I understand that. And the Thanksgiving Day weekend game is not going to draw. Now, the Penn State this year, its Thanksgiving Day game was at Wisconsin. And that was, and Camp Randall was not a full house that day. It just wasn't. And especially, it was really noticeable in the student section. I'd say maybe half the students were there. There were no, but it was Thanksgiving weekend. They went home. And part of college football is that, you know, and Penn State will experience this on one end of it. Penn State's Labor Day game is at Dublin this year. So the only game that's going to affect student attendance is going to be the Michigan State game at the end, because they're on fall break that week. Penn State's game, the start fall break, is at Illinois. So it's not, so it'll have no factor in it at all in terms of being on break. In fact, I've got to figure out that trip, because I've got to go to Charleston for basketball, go to Champaign, and go back to Charleston. Try and do 4 games in 4 days. But that is a problem. But it's obvious that when you look at what that student at Michigan said, Wi-Fi connectivity is 8th on his list. 8th. That's what struck me, was how far down the list. I mean, it means nothing. We've talked about this on the show how many times? Kevin's all upset.
No. I'm not surprised at all, because I think we
need to take a break.
Yeah, now when I'm ready to comment.
You may make your comment, then we need to take a break.
Okay. I'm not surprised by that number at all. I think students are more apt to use their data plan. However, if you go to an NFL stadium, I think that the older demographic that may go to an NFL stadium is more inclined to send what they can on Wi-Fi as opposed to using their data plan. But I also don't think they're also using their phone as much during the game as maybe students are. That's just my thought.
I think most people, most of those students who have a data plan, it's with their family.
Right. I agree with that.
Okay, which means if their parents are at the game, they're using the data plan too.
Well, I just don't think that they're worried as much about using up all their data as people that maybe are paying for the data plan. How's that?
Sure, I understand that.
That's probably putting it a better way.
They never are. But it's all the normal things. I want to go with friends. I want to be a part of the game day atmosphere. I want to get good seats. I want to see them win. It's amazing how the normal things are what interests students. Normal stuff. But the big part I get out of that is that kickoff time means something. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us.
See, that's one thing you'll miss if you're not at the game.
Well,
you'll definitely miss that.
They're going to do this methodology. You know, this is all gut feeling. Okay, they list the top five student sections each conference. Okay, which conference do you want first?
Oh, give me the Big Ten.
Penn State number one.
That's not a big surprise.
Penn State number one, S Zone. Looks great on TV. Students camp out for tickets in the old Paternoville, now Nittanyville. School sold more than 21,000 season tickets. Ohio State, two. I understand that.
Yep.
Wisconsin, three. I get that. Nebraska, four. I get that. Iowa, five. They are loud when they're there. It's just the problem is they have a huge no-show rate right now. SEC, LSU was one. Alabama, two. Florida, three in the swamp. Texas A&M, four. Auburn, five.
Texas A&M can get pretty rowdy.
Yeah. Let's see. Big 12. Texas Tech, 1. Baylor, 2. Oklahoma State, 3. Kansas State, 4. Iowa State, 5. Notice no Texas, no Oklahoma. Clemson, number 1. ACC. Virginia Tech, 2. Florida State, 3. Georgia Tech, 4. NC State, 5. Pac-12.
I was just going to say Clemson would probably be in the top 5 nationwide, I would think.
Nationwide. Yep. Top five, Pac-12, Arizona, one, even though they have huge no-shows. Utah, two, Oregon, three, Washington, four, Arizona State, five. Time to take a break here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I think one of the keys now in terms of being engaged in the stadium, a couple things. Internet access and connectivity is still going to be important because you're talking about anywhere from 90 to 107,000 people, for example, in a stadium like Beaver Stadium. So there are going to be a number of people that want Wi-Fi and internet connectivity. That's okay, that's one. I also think at the same time, the band becomes very important in what you're doing in your stadium as well. I think the band it needs to be thought of as every bit as important as any canned music in the stadium. I think the next part of it is, I think you need to have great use of your scoreboard. And great use of your scoreboard meaning it, you know, using replays now, which are allowed by the Big Ten, which is a great move because now you feel like you have a great screen to look at in the stadium that gives you the home feeling. But I also think instead of just a bland in scores of other games, why don't you show highlights at halftime of other games in your scoreboard? Why don't you show us some highlights in between the first and second quarter, third and fourth quarter of other games being played? Couple here and there. Add to the experience by showing the highlights so they can see, for example, wow, look, Braxton Miller had a huge game today. Look at that. Has more of an impact. Feel like they saw something. And I think you have to be able to use your scoreboard in that regard to keep people engaged like they're getting the home experience in the stadium itself. And that includes the students because they want to see the highlights as well of things like that. So I think you have to be smart about what you do. Game kickoff times are important. Anything from 3:30 on is going to draw a bigger crowd than a noon game is going to get. Now, obviously, you're married to television on this, so television's going to dictate what time you play. And the Big Ten, for example, has three time slots designated between the Big Ten Network, ESPN, and ESPN2. But the more late afternoon, early evening time slots you can get, the better it's going to be for the fan because they want to tailgate and really let loose before the game. They're really in the mode to pack up and go home after the game. If I'm missing the mark, you're the ones that go. I just announce. I pull into the parking space about 45 minutes before airtime, and you know, back to the game. Jack and I have a couple, you know, beverages with Ron, and then I'm out of there. So you're the ones that live it. You're gonna have to tell me what gets you cooking in there. And as a student, I really want to hear from you as well. I've seen student attendance down visually at almost every basketball venue I've been to this season. Not just at Penn State. I've seen it down at Ohio State. I thought it was a little loose at Michigan State for the first time ever. Saw it down at Michigan.
Illinois is not good because that was during term break, so they weren't there. I saw it down at in fact, I saw attendance at Indiana basketball down period, which I was shocked by. Now, Nebraska will be pretty strong. I mean, they've sold 14,000 season tickets, and they're really excited about what they're doing. They've won five of six.